And we're back with Weekday World. I'm your host, Don DeBar. We return now to Thursday's press conference with Maria Zakharova, spokesperson for the Foreign Ministry of the Russian Federation.
As we know, we are going to discuss another topic, and it's doping and the involvement of political circles of the U.S. in these dirty games. As we know, one of the masterminds of these attacks against Russia in the so-called state system, the U.S., but the sports officials refused to accept the readmission of a Russian agency in WADA, and do this very actively. And this is the leader of the anti-doping agency of the U.S., Mr. Tigert. But a serious scandal erupted recently. The point is, the agency Mr. Tigert heads was caught out in easing the requirements for the MMA fighter, Mr. Jones, who was caught red-handed in 2007 for the use of doping for the second time. And his four-year disqualification was reduced to 30 months for, I quote, cooperation with the U.S. Doping Agency and providing information on the use of prohibited substances by other sportsmen. And then, after the expert conclusion of the author about doping scandal in Russia by the Canadian McLaren, it was reduced to 15 months. It is absurd if we look at what Canadian and American officials do. The reason for that was the fact that Mr. Jones used anabolics involuntarily and undeliberately, and they didn't influence the results of his performance. It turns out that one should be punished only in the case when doping influences the results, and if a sportsman uses doping and doesn't break records, he or she shouldn't be punished at all. These are the decisions made in the U.S. In the context of declarations made by other sport officials, despite the efforts to stifle the scandal, the decision in relation to the athlete split the sports community in the U.S. In addition to that, other MMA fighters refused to cooperate with USADA. Another example of this double standards is the refusal to punish the track and field athlete Клие, who used clenbuterol substances. And it's noteworthy that the U.S. ADA claimed that this substance was due to Mr. Клие eating Mexican meat. It seems that the American claims on leadership in their fight for a pure sport is only unjust rivalry, and all the examples prove that. But our Western partners moved further when the information on Russian readmission to WADA appeared. Not only our American colleagues were not glad with that. We witnessed the launch of another anti-Russian campaign, that is an international one, and once Russia was readmitted to WADA, Americans were helped by the staunch allies, Brits, and we received many accusations on different levels, and we have read many fake news on that. For example, a British foreign ministry that is now dealing with security issues in the sphere of ICT. Came up with lots of fantastic speculations in highly likely style on Guerrero involvement to cyber attacks all over the world, including to WADA servers. It happened yesterday. It is so convenient. For several weeks, Guerrero was accused of the involvement in the Salisbury incident, and now the speed-up story can be clipped to the WADA story. So, in one bottle, probably it is Nina Ricci perfume bottle, everything was mixed up. Guerrero, cyber spies, and WADA. Our British colleagues have indeed unbridled imagination. These are like authors of fairy tales. Probably they judge by themselves when they do that. It's just unworthy of a state that wants to take one of the leading parts in the world. And in fact, if we speak of cyber crimes, and now we understand that several European countries try not to break decorum and accuse Russia of all the sins, especially in the sphere of cybersecurity. So if we talk about real things, they are totally different from the speculations and assumptions of Western political strategies, because our countries is one of the active players in the field of ICT and cyberspace. Russia tries to reanimate the bilateral working group contacting with the US, but unfortunately the Americans constantly avoid such mutually beneficial contacts by the reasons only they understand. One of the examples of our country's eagerness to work in cybersecurity field is, for example, attempts to launch the process between the governments of the two countries, but there are many other examples. I would like just to draw your attention to the annual international conference that will take place in Moscow between the 9th and 10th of October, devoted to this very topic. It is expected that it will unite over 1,000 experts from Europe, Middle East, and Asia, and the participants will discuss the trends in the sphere of international cybersecurity. They will analyze instruments and tactics of the most dangerous hackers groups and exchange strategic data in the sphere of cyber reconnaissance. It seems that our Western partners do not see this. We call on you to come to Russia to participate in that, to participate in the expert meetings. And one of the highlights is the fight against terrorism and the result of investigations of the high-profile cyber crimes of this year. Traditionally, the conference will be attended by Interpol, Europol, cyber policies of different countries, telecommunications campaign, banks and other organizations specializing in technologies of cybersecurity. We'll provide the details on the website a little bit later. We have noted that the Ministry of Defense and the General Staff of the British side wants to create offensive cyber forces that will also Counter threats arising from hostile countries on the net. These hostile countries, as it is easy to guess, are Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea. It turned out that these countries interfered in the elections in different countries, according to the British Special Services, they have delivered them more attacks against the British infrastructure than anyone else. And apart from this initiative, the British government wants to create an internet regulator, like a media regulator, Ofcom, that will supervise the social media networks and demand to remove the prohibited content, including extremist statements, calls for violence and misinformation. Thus, the official London mobilizes forces to strengthen control over the internet segment of its information space, involving even the military. It's obvious that the goal of countering illegal content and threats of ostensible interference are only pretext to create additional tools to get rid of alternative points of view on the net that will probably be categorically classified as misinformation. It is evident that internet that doesn't tolerate censorship and unlike the British liberal press, refuses to take at face value the official versions of Downing Street in the spirit of highly likely became a problem for the British authorities when attempts to counter the monopoly on truth. And it is symptomatic that the law on counterterrorism and the security of borders have been enacted because it can have a negative effect on the freedom of media and criminalize different acts connected with the use of spread of information within the framework of media and journalist investigation activities. We would like to receive the assessment of these initiatives by the official London on the part of the expert community, because we provide mostly political assessment. We would like to see the reaction of journalists, because we qualify these as complex measures to strengthen censorship in the media space. And another topic I would like to discuss with you is connected with the control over information in the net with double standards. I would like to draw your attention to the facts that prove what we have spoken about. The other day, the Wikipedia site published data about the American senators Lindsey Graham, Michael Lee, Orrin Hatch. A scandal erupted, and Wikipedia removed the information. And the representative of the White House called the leakage of personal data flagrant, and the Washington establishment actively demonstrated that it was shocked with what had happened, because families of the politicians were in danger. At the same time, the U.S. administration continues to ignore the criminal activities of Ukrainian extremist portal Mirotvorets, because it is this website that provides personal data of about people who are deemed undesirable for Kyiv's authorities. I would like to note that this site publishes personal data about the following people, for example, Alex Buzina and Oleg Kalashnikov, who were killed. The owners of the site were not published by the publication of personal data of journalists, including Western ones, who visited the Donetsk Republic. Other people who are now on the Mirotvorets webpage are the Metropolitan of Kyiv and the All Ukraine Onufry, the Patriarch of Serbia Irinei, the composer Alexandra Pakhmutova, the director of Sobibor film that was nominated for the Oscar Award, Konstantin Khabensky, ex-leader of the musical group Pink Floyd, a number of Ukrainian anti-fascists, and even the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Hungary, Peter Szijjártó. The technical support to Meritvoritz was provided by the American Cloudflare service, and Washington turns a blind eye to that. We would like to understand if these are double standards or, in other case, how Washington can justify these matters. We should ask a question: why the publication of personal data of Washington politicians provoked such an outrage, such a response? I would like to remind you of the leakages made by BuzzFeed, for example, the bank information of Russian diplomats in the US, and we have repeatedly provided the data and noted that it was inadmissible to do this. It is evident that American special services resorted to a deliberate provocation. We haven't received the explanation from the Department of State about the fact if somebody has been punished for that. It means that when Washington speaks about the protection of personal data of the users, it means only those who belong to political elite. The information is being protected, and others can be put in danger, and this can be done deliberately. So now we are turning to another point.
So, yeah, not totally completing the topic, but I can not that I can note that it being noted the statement of the Prime Minister of Great Britain. She said that it was allowed to conduct military operations not authorized by the Security Council of the UN. And everybody saw the videos of the party that was held there. There is nothing new in the statement of the British Prime Minister. And according to London, it is admissible to do so. The problem is another thing. It's very often that the predecessors of Ms. May usually had to apologize for such operations without authorization of the UN Security Council. They deemed them admissible to be conducted. And I would like to remind you of Mr. Blair, who was justifying his actions and the action of Great Britain and its participation in the illegal campaign.
Ну, правда, бывшие коллеги по Евросоюзу,
учитывая Brexit, итальянцы не знают, как противостоять результатам такой незаконной, хотя и с выданным мандатом Совета Безопасности, но нарушенным операцией, которая прошла в отношении Ливии, which was conducted in Libya.
Президент Российской Федерации говорит,
что последствия
коснулись непосредственно.
And it has been spoken about by our president, although Libya is in ruins, but now these actions are being repeated. So these countries are justifying their actions and all other states trying to demand the consequences. Another statement by U.S. politicians. So the statement by the Minister of Internal Affairs of the U.S., Ryan Zinke, and his statement were discussed last weekend. He is responsible for the use of American natural resources, and he started to talk about international affairs. At one of the conferences relating to energy, said that the American naval forces can block the shipments of Russian oils by tankers coming to the external markets. He was talking about the Middle East, although the oil is not as scarce there. The same thing could be done with the Iranian oil exports, he said. First thing, just imagine that such statement could be made not even by the representative of the government of the Russian Federation, but just a member of a political elite, a deputy, or some other person. And it would be deemed as a blackmail, as a political blackmail. Maybe this minister forgot about his position in the government, and that he should watch what he's speaking, what he says. First, during his first working day after the appointment, he emphasized his closeness to nature, and he came to work dressed like a cowboy, and it explains much. And the statement made by Mr. Zinke are very symptomatic, and they reflect the thoughts of the American political establishment, who are just regarding the situation by their superficial knowledge of the world, and they are guided by the high self-esteem. So they are talking about Russia's blockade against Russia, and they make them look awkward, and also can create inconveniences and difficulties for their own country, for his own country. And our interference in the elections was compared with the terrorist attack on the 11th of September. It was done by Hillary Clinton. I know that she is not an official figure, but she's a very well-known and long-working politician in the U.S. We believe that she cannot afford, she cannot say things like that. She drew a parallel between the interference, supposed interference of Russia, and the terrorist attacks on the 11th of September. And it's very weird to hear such statements due to the fact that our president was the first to call Mr. Bush, the president of the U.S., and he expressed solidarity with the American people due in relation to the tragedy. And our country allowed transit, land transit and combined transit through its territory of the weapons, of the military equipment and property. So our country rendered logistical material support to the United States in the fight against terrorism, which perpetrated an attack on the 11th of September. And our presidents of Russia and the United States stated the success of the agreements that they reached. So why should Hillary Clinton make such weird and outrageous statements. It's very pitiful. So the senior, also the senior advisor of
the
senior advisor of the U.S. Embassy in Moscow said that proposed a special competition of double the visas issued by Russia, and we take this challenge, and we propose also to reduce the terms for waiting for the visas and waiting for the interviews. These interviews are obligatory for Russian citizens, and this term is about 300 days. It's almost impossible to take an appointment to get to participate, to take part in this interview. And as just a return response measure, Russia has extended the term of waiting up to 15 days in a short term visas and up to 30 days in a long term visas. And we have also taken note of the difficulties that Russian athletes face with getting their visas, which creates obstacles in maintaining business, cultural, sports, and even family relations. So we are ready for such competitions, and we are ready to get your proposals. Another issue that I would like to highlight. Sorry to say, the situation on the internalizing the memory of the head of the Forest Brothers still going on, and they are presented like martyrs, and these forest fighters are guilty for many deaths, and Lithuanian authorities say that it should be a year of this group. And one of its leaders is planned to be reburied. It's sorry to say that his tomb would be in close proximity to many thousands of Russian soldiers who were killed during the liberation of Vilnius. The military verdict was never deferred or cancelled. And we propose that the Lithuanian authorities remember the obligations in the human rights area and stop persecuting in relation to dissent.
Еще одна тема. 24-25 сентября на юге Италии делегации фонда
so
Андрея Первозванного
во главе с председателем попечительского совета господином
Якуниным проведена серия мероприятий,
To commemorate the heroic deeds of the Russian sailmen who fell victims during the earthquake in Messina. In 1908, the central event was a roundtable of Russia and Italy in the Dialogue of Cultures, the 110th anniversary of the tragedy in Messina, when Russian musical bands and photo exhibition and press conference were held. This visit of the delegation of the foundation to Italy showed The importance of widening bilateral contacts of Russia with foreign countries. Another topic is the reply to the question that on the 29th of September
on
Maryland, Mr. Ford stated that Russia could pose obstacles to the date, to the function of the database of EA in relation to radioactive and other materials. He said that it was relating to the inclusion of British authorities of the data relating to the poisoning of Mr. Litvinenko by a polonium substance.
Like to огласил информацию из базы данных, которая, строго говоря, является конфиденциальной.
Show pity that the information was confidential information was revealed by this person, and Russia is working with in this database. The problem is that the Secretariat of the Atomic Agency doesn't bear any responsibility on the publishing of materials of this or that country. And therefore, the database is a convenient tool for responsible spreading of fake information and even for settling political accounts. It was demonstrated by the fact when British authority, British side published the unjustified data about Mr. Litvinenko. The international rules do not envisage the disclosure of such information. And this database is not complete, comprehensive, and there are no ways to protect it from political bias. They are not being applied. Information in that should not be transferred to third persons. As we've understood that the rules are not applied to all parties, and Western countries do not always present the information about the incident, but they want other countries to disclose their data. So another thing about this exclusiveness, exclusive status.
I'm ready to take your questions. Anna Usanova, Moscow Baku Information Agency. Recently, as we have seen, there were some shifts in the talks on Nagorno-Karabakh problem, the talks in Armenia, the talks with the president of Azerbaijan and Armenia, and many people give positive evaluation to the situation. But they believe that even it was Moscow who prepared this positive background for the talks. Could you comment on this? And do you think there are hopes for some shifts, and we can reach and we can go to a new level? We welcome positive trends that we have noted. It is important to develop them and not to traumatize the situation with the rhetoric that usually takes place. And from our side, we will provide all necessary assistance. One more question within the framework of the meeting of Lavrov with OEC president, head of MFA of Italy. Are they going to discuss Nagorno-Karabakh issue? It may be they may touch upon this issue. I can clarify this, and I call you to come to press conference and to get to know the outcomes of the talks. Yes, please, next question. on the visit of the Italian Minister of Foreign Affairs. You spoke about Libya. Could you mention the details? Because Libya for us is a delicate, sensitive issue. Could you give the details? On what they are going to talk about? The exchange of views on Libyan situation is regular. Every meeting at different levels involves this issue. As you noted, it's a sensitive issue. I would even say that it is an important issue. Even Italian representatives say that it is important for the destiny of the country. From our side, we repeatedly addressed our Italian colleagues and representatives of international organizations dealing with this topic, and there were proposals made. And the president of the Russian Federation spoke about that yesterday. In particular, there is a work that is ongoing on the issues of migrants and refugees, and there is a unique opportunity for them to return home, in particular to Syria. And of course, we always spoke about the fact that an exclusive role and this whole complicated issue should play the normalization of the situation in the region, the stabilization of the situation, in order to make the process of the return of refugees home possible, so that they could normalize their lives, and so that this would give the pretext to prevent similar situations in future. Without normalization of the situation in the region, the attempts to solve the situation are impossible. The problems are becoming more and more global. People are not just coming to the territory of the European countries. They are dragging more and more inflows. And to cure the problem locally is impossible. We have to get back to the region and to normalize the situation there and to do everything to at least make it stable. Syria sees that there are hopes for better. If around 2 years ago, if we wouldn't try to imagine that Syrian refugees, IDPs, immigrants and migrants could wish to come back home, we wouldn't have believed in it. Today, it's reality. Active actions on fighting with terrorists, countering fighters, the efforts to put together the opponents, the opposition being done, and the process of reformation, humanitarian assistance, and of course multilateral dialogue of the players, of the actors, the dialogue on regular basis. All these factors have become a global basis to make life, to normalize life in Syria, and to give a chance to people to come back. And this is the main pretext to normalize the situation and to solve the problem in Syria and Europe, in the Middle East. It is not the same problem as in Libya, but it should be applied to other countries. when the players involved in the settlement of Libyan problem should not try to put the opposition and other forces apart, but try to unite them to lead to consensus decision and to find a new Libyan statehoodness, taking into account the international law. Libya put the whole country, the general situation is complicated, and the Syrian principles and approaches, multilateral dialogue of the players and the aspiration to reach a political consensus, the skills of the regional and global powers to see the their interests in the problems, and all this could be applied to other problematic regions, and these issues are regularly discussed, and they are going to be discussed in future. The details can be found out only after the talks, but I reassure you that the ministers of foreign affairs will share their evaluations with you. I would like to add one thing. I think that there is a chance to that the issue of the conference in Palermo will be raised in the middle of November. Yes, that's right, and Russia plans to participate there. Okay, this is new information. Of course, the level of participation and the exact parameters will be agreed later. We'll provide you with this information, but it's an important event not only for Italy, but for Europe, for the whole region, and we're working on it. Yes, please. Afghan news. Mr. Karzaev, Deputy Foreign Minister of Afghanistan, said that discrepancies between Russia and U.S. on the international agenda can affect the situation in Afghanistan. Could you comment on this, please? We think that we take effective steps and efforts to normalize the situation in Afghanistan. We cannot agree with a whole range of actions made by the United States of America with respect to Afghanistan, because they, according to evidences, they lead to, they aggravate the situation, they make it worse, as we can say, but unfortunately, we cannot see any real willingness to maintain the dialogue. And from our side, we are ready to get involved in this dialogue. Of course, there are discrepancies. I mentioned them. I provided our evaluation of the situation. But the discrepancies should be solved at the negotiating table. And we are open to this, and we call the U.S. to participate. We already announced our decisiveness to take this step, but until now there were no real actions in that direction, and we face constant blockages on the way of organizing the talks. The efforts of the countries who really have something to say on the situation in Afghanistan can be positive for Afghanistan, and we are ready to carry out this work. Ksenia Komissarova, TV BRICS. Today, President Putin started his visit to India. How do you evaluate the importance and what are the prospects of bilateral relations Russia-India? We have a rule. We are not commenting on the presidential agenda. There is a press service of the presidential administration of Russia. As for bilateral relations, there are a lot of information information published on this. There is a full-fledged cooperation that we carry out with India, and during the visit a lot will be mentioned about those bilateral relations. But the administration of the president is responsible for presidential agenda. Ukraine declared non-grata person. Mr. Berigov, does Russia have any comments on this? The Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Hungary spoke about that yesterday. I refer. Could you please refer to this comment? He made a pretty clear statement on the situation. If we speak about the violation of rights of minorities in Ukraine, we regularly comment on this. This is an unprecedented case, what is going on in Ukraine. And as for persecution of people for a different religion and thoughts, the use and the preservation of cultural identity is threatened in Ukraine. It is not just separate manifestations of destructive forces. It is inside the governmental agenda. But nobody knows whether it was created deliberately or due to the factors they cannot counter the forces that destabilize the situation. But this question should be referred to the experts in this area. International organizations should play a more important role in this process. Their voice should be louder. Japanese TV, Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe was re-elected for new term. Will Russia continue to sign peace agreement without preconditions? Our position on this issue remains unchanged, and we mentioned this already. Yes, please. Sumania Fury, International Life magazine. Yesterday, John Bolton said that the U.S. is withdrawing from the jurisdiction of the International Court of the United Nations. So all the regulations given by this organization will be not more than recommendations for the U.S. What is the opinion of the MFA? How will it affect the situation? If we speak about the International Court by the UN is what we're speaking about. I haven't seen this news. I will clarify and we comment on this. As for International Court, we provided complete information at one of our previous briefings. And I had one more question about the International Court and another case, the jurisdiction of international organizations. Are there any mechanisms with ICC? They're not just withdrew from the jurisdiction, they made another step. They provided a different interpretation of the international law and their exclusiveness. We spoke about this a lot during the General Assembly. We are living following the rules of common space, and there was a paradigm launched, and it was developed at the end of the Second World War, and it was launched together with the UN Foundation. After the whole world was have seen the consequences of the war. So, and on the other side, there is a paradigm which is carried out and which is imposed by other countries that are living in accordance with the current situation.
положено, если говорить таким высоким языком,
so,
так все и будут жить.
And they think that everyone should follow the way they do. So it will be kind of a competition, I don't know. Or kind of, well, a way to compete. A competition between these two types of paradigms, ideologies. We would prefer the first one, because if we have a look at the historical background, the second paradigm worked too, but it gave negative results. And if we speak about the US approaches, then they go better with the second paradigm, and it is dangerous. As for Bolton, I will clarify what you were speaking about and will provide the comment. CNN. President Putin yesterday called Skripal a traitor. And we'd like to specify whether Skripal still has a Russian passport. And is it possible to get access to Skripals for the Consulate Department of Russia? I see no linkages between the work of Consulate Department and Skripals, because the statement was made yesterday, and our Consulate Department is trying to get this access for more than 6 months. Well, the second thing, as you quoted the Russian president, traitor, he was considered traitor by the court. And in the context of the president of the Russian Federation statement, I say again that he was called like that by the court, and he was sentenced, and he served this term in prison. What's the news? He was a traitor, and his activity was revealed. There was an investigation, then hearing, and then he spent some years in prison, and then he was swapped. So nobody can consider him in any other quality than traitor. Nobody renamed him, and it was the wording of the court, and it is in the history. So it was what happened with him. Speaking about personal evaluations, we have the right to do that, but the word traitor is given by the court. Do you have anything else to add? The citizenship. We believe that we're speaking about Russian citizens, Yulia Skripal and Sergei Skripal, and this is the reason why we ask to get access to them, and we constantly face the refusals.
Здравствуйте, Мария Владимировна, информационное агентство Радио Спутник.
Good day.
Вы знаете, как вы это подвели? Это интересно, что заявление президента России от 3 октября
the president of the Russian Federation should impede the Russian consular service to get access to our citizens. When the situation happened in Salisbury, well, half a year our embassy was proposing any options to cooperate based on bilateral agreements. And in half a year, presidential statement could influence this, and could impede the access for granting the access to the Skripals. This is the principal position of the British authorities, political one. It is not based on
actually on the international law. If it had been, they would be obliged to grant this access. They made political accusations and blocked access due to political reasons.
Такие же заявления, эмоциональные или с цитатами, или любые, я думаю, что ничего не изменит в отношении Лондона, а именно в том смысле, что они полностью отказались от правовых процедур. Это доказывается тем, что они не дают доступ к российским гражданам. Это доказывается тем, что они отказались от взаимодействия с Следственным комитетом Российской Федерации, как и с другими.
By the refusal to communicate with the Russian investigative committee, and it is demonstrated by the course of the investigation. So it would be weird to say that anything could influence their position, because they refuse to use any mechanical mechanism, but stoop to political provocation. And for all this time they have been engaged in these provocations. If we could be talking about the hearings or the trials, then Russian statements could be regarded as harmful or affecting the situation, but it all concerns the statements of the Premier, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, who accused our country in
the action
that was not that had not been done on our country, and we got a good deal of criticism.
Why
Russia
has
called it a political show? Do you have any reasons
to object it,
to say that it is not true?
So
no statements, no political arguments,
or legal arguments
could influence London, because they are acting based on a political bias.
Но они сделали этот выбор.
And they made their choice.
Когда
российская
делегация
delegation
под руководством в Организации Объединенных Наций,
was headed by Mr. Lavrov.
Тема Солсбери,
the topic of Salisbury was discussed by the British side. There were many statements
и в ходе общения с прессой,
and press releases.
So the topic
was prevalent one during the work in New York during the General Assembly.
On
Friday, after a five-day stay, Russian delegation, Sergei Lavrov, they gave press conference, and all media outlets were present there at the conference. There were representatives of TV channels, of newspapers. The conference lasted for an hour and 15 minutes, and about 16 questions were asked. We gave an opportunity to ask any questions,
but
no one asked about Salisbury or Amesbury. It was a good opportunity, but nobody did that. The British delegation had been talking about that for many times, for a lot of time, but the diplomats
and
journalists, they were not eager to answer, to ask any questions. Because all these people understand that this is just a political show,
and
London just produces leakages,
and
everyone understand that it's all about fake news.
Давали слово всем журналистам, которые
хотели
высказаться, мы
to answer to any questions to all the journalists, and but we didn't receive any question regarding the Skripal's case. So that's it.
Ah.